last week?
Jonah.
Good old Jonah. Well, there's some things we learned from Jonah. One is, it's best for us when we follow God's leading. What did God want Jonah to do?
Go to Nineveh.
Go to Nineveh. What did Jonah not want to do? How come he didn't want to go to Nineveh? Yeah, he didn't like them, did he? They were bad folks. He didn't like them, and he didn't want to go. And so what did he do? He boarded a ship and started sailing off to Tarshish. And as he went, a storm came up. And the boat started to sink. And they threw the stuff overboard, and nothing was working. So they finally drew straws to see whose fault the storm was. Yeah, and Jonah got the short straw, didn't he? And he said, the only way to stop this storm is to throw me overboard. And so they did. The boat was sinking. Why? Because Jonah disobeyed God. He brought a storm into his life because he was disobeying God. And he got thrown into the sea. And when they threw him in, the storm stopped. But what we also discovered is, even though Jonah disobeyed God, God still showed mercy and God was working to rescue Jonah. He was working to meet Jonah's deepest need. And see, Jonah had two needs. One is he was in the sea sinking and drowning, and the other one is he was spiritually sinking and drowning. David, you might turn that monitor down a little bit. He was drowning. And so what did God do? God sent a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine living in the belly of a great fish? Yuck, right? But hey, Jonah was alive. He was still alive. And being alive, he began to pray to God. See, God showed Jonah mercy, and Jonah prayed to God, and God forgave him and gave him another chance to do what he was telling him to do, and that was to go to Nineveh. And so that great fish spit Jonah out. In fact, the scripture says he didn't spit him out, he vomited him up onto dry ground. God's compassion and God's mercy were at work. And the thing is, God's grace and compassion and mercy are worth sharing. So Jonah went to Nineveh. Even though he still didn't want to go, God said go. And so he went to Nineveh and he told the people what was going to happen, that God was going to judge them and destroy them because of their sins. And when the people heard what was going to happen, they repented. They repented of their sins. They threw dust on their heads and put ashes on and put on what? Burlap sacks, real rough clothes, as a way of showing they were sorry and they were mourning, and they repented and God forgave them and God showed them mercy and didn't destroy them. But Jonah wasn't happy, was he? No, he wasn't happy. And he went outside of town and he sat down to pout because God spared him. And so God grew this bush over Jonah so he'd have a shade from the hot sun, and then God killed the bush. And Jonah got all kinds of upset because his shade tree died, but he still didn't care about the people in Nineveh. God said, you cared more about the bush than you cared about those people. And you know, sometimes we're like Jonah. We care more about our stuff than we do people. We care more about the blessings God's put in our life than we do about people who need to know the mercy of God. You know, sometimes we're just like Jonah. You see, what God desires from us is that, one, we would accept His mercy, and two, that we would share His mercy. And Jonah had a hard time doing that. But God desires to show mercy not only to us, but to other people. and to help us to receive His mercy and to share His mercy, God sent His Son Jesus, who demonstrated God's mercy and grace in every way. See, Jesus is the perfect Son of God. It's one of those things that we have a hard time explaining intellectually. It's just something we have to accept by faith, that Jesus is the Son of God, but yet Jesus is also the Son of Man. He is the God-man. Fully God, but fully man. And He came to show us God, to show us His mercy, to show us His grace, and to show us that we can live in that mercy and grace. And so He came showing God's mercy. He showed God's care. He showed God's compassion. He taught people. He cared for people. He healed people. He loved people. And He did it all without sin, because He was God. He was perfect in every way. And yet there were those people, the religious leaders, who didn't like Jesus. They didn't like what He taught. In fact, they just didn't like Him. And so they began to put together a plan, and they finally put it into place, and they arrested Jesus, and they put on a fake trial. They falsely accused Him, and they hung Him on a cross. But you know what Jesus did on the cross? He showed mercy. Luke chapter 23. It says, "And when they came to the place called the Skull, they nailed Him on the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on His right and one on His left. And Jesus said, 'Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they are doing.'" That had to be tough. It'd be tough for us, wouldn't it? You know, somebody's mistreating you, the first thing that comes to your mind is forgive them. Yeah, confession time, probably not. But Jesus prayed, "Forgive them. Forgive these people who are hanging me on the cross." And there were also two thieves hanging there, one on His right and one on His left. And one of them was rebuking Jesus and making fun of Jesus and said, "If you really are who you say you are, get yourself off the cross and get us off too." But the other one rebuked the other criminal and said, "This man hadn't done anything to deserve death, but yet he is dying. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus do? Showed him mercy. He said, Today you will be with me in paradise." And the man experienced the mercy and the grace of God. But you know, Jesus responded to everyone around the cross the same way. "Forgive them." And He extended mercy. He did so because He loved them and He loves us. And He didn't want them or us to experience God's wrath, because that's what our sins deserve. See, that's what we deserve. See, Jesus died for our sins. If we don't know God's mercy and grace, this is what our heart looks like. We find ourselves cheating and swearing and lying and stealing and disobeying our parents and just doing all kinds of bad things. That's our life in sin. But Jesus died. And see, the thing is, because God is holy and God is just and God is righteous, these sins, in fact, all sins, they have to be paid for. And the payment is punishment. In fact, the Bible tells us that the punishment is death. You know, when you do wrong things, kids, when you do something wrong, do you get punished for it? There's confession time for the kids. Are they going to actually admit they did something wrong? Do you? Yeah, I heard it back here. The little ones, they go, "Yes!" Guess what, kids? when you're an adult and you do something wrong, you still get punished for it. Some of it's kind of pretty soon, and some of it comes maybe a little later. But when you do something wrong as adults, you get punished for it. You know, if you go speeding down the highway and you see the blue lights behind you, you're going to get punished for it. It's going to happen. Unless that police officer is really merciful, you're going to get a big ticket to pay. If he's really merciful, you might get a warning. You know, it never stops. If we do something wrong, if we sin, we have to pay the price. And the Bible says that price is death. A spiritual death where we're separated from God. But Jesus mercifully came and died. He was punished for our sins. He took our sins on himself. He died on the cross, even though he had never sinned and never has sinned and never will sin. He took our sins with him to the cross and died there for us. He paid the price, taking upon himself our sin and our punishment because he's a merciful Savior. But the good news is the story doesn't stop there, does it? 3 days later, what did Jesus do? He arose. Luke chapter 24. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. And so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive, they asked, the angels asked. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Well, he died for our sins, and then he defeated sin and death and came back to life. And today, Jesus is alive. The Bible tells us that he is in heaven sitting at the right hand of God interceding for you and me. He's taking our case to God. That every one of us can receive God's mercy and God's grace. And you see, we need that because the Bible also tells us we all have sinned. None of us is exempt. We all have. We have all heard God leading us to go one way and we went another. Just like Jonah. We know what God desired of us, but yet we didn't do it. And so we sinned. We've all chosen to do what we wanted to do instead of what God wants us to do. You know, sin deserves death, which is separation from God, because God is holy and just and perfect. And that is true not only now, but it is true forever if we should die in our sins. Death is what we deserve, every one of us. So, do you think we can cover up our sin? Do you think that's possible? Do you think it's possible that if we do enough good stuff, we can cover up our sin and it won't be seen? You know, if we do good things, or we start obeying our parents, or we quit stealing, we start giving things away instead of taking things. We even give an offering in the church and we go to church. We start doing really good things. Are these going to cover up our sins and get rid of them? No. That it's not going to work. We can never be good enough to get rid of our sins. Our sins will still be there. The result of our sin will still be there, which is death. Good things we do doesn't change it. The only thing that will change it is Jesus. Jesus mercifully died for our sins. Titus 3:5. It says, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. You see, the only way to be forgiven, the only way to life, is by accepting Jesus' merciful act. Jesus shed His blood on the cross for us to cover our sins, which results in forgiveness. It results in eternal life. It also results in our sins that are covered by the blood of Jesus being erased and forgotten forever. That's God's mercy at work. See, Jesus shows us mercy. He showed it to the religious leaders. He showed it to the soldiers. He showed it to those around the cross. He showed it to the criminals. He also shows it to you. He shows it to me. He even shows it to those people who we don't want to share it with. He shows it to everyone. Our sins put Him on the cross, but sin was no match for Jesus. He defeated it. Death couldn't hold Him, and today Jesus alone can save us from the death and the punishment our sins deserve. Jesus saves us when we believe in Him. But you see, it's our choice. It's your choice. You can choose. You can choose to receive Jesus' forgiveness. You can choose to receive His mercy and His grace, or you can refuse it. God's not going to make you. Your ship may be sinking, but God's not going to make you. He only saves us when we desire for Him to forgive our sins. Oh, we can try to earn God's favor doing good things, but it's not going to work. The only way is to look to Jesus, to ask for forgiveness and salvation, and receive His mercy. And you see, the way this happened, really, it's quite simple. Y'all learned, kids, you learned about this in Vacation Bible School. It's as simple as ABC. Can anybody tell me what A represents? A? Admit. Yeah. Admit. Admit that you sinned. Admit that you did wrong. You know, until we admit it, God can't do anything with it. But we admit in God that we have sinned. And then we do what? B. We do what? We believe. Yeah. We believe who Jesus is. We believe what He did for us. We believe He has the answer to our problem. And then we see. We choose. We choose to trust Jesus. We commit to Jesus. We admit we sin. We believe in Jesus. And then we commit to Jesus. And you know what? Really, to choose and commit, to choose to trust Jesus and commit Jesus, what that means is when we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and to cover them with His blood, what that means is we choose now to not sin anymore. We choose to listen to God's leading and do what He says. We admit, we believe, we choose, we commit. And you know, the thing is, when we have received His mercy and His grace, one of the first things that Jesus tells us that we're supposed to do is follow His example and show mercy and grace to others. That's what we do. Jesus loves us. Now, who do we love? Do we love just the people we like, or do we love everybody? That's right. We love everybody. Jesus showed us mercy. Now, who do we show mercy to? Everybody. We follow His example. We follow His leading. But you know what? It's still our choice. God will not make us do something we do not want to do. He will lead us. And if we start leading Him, we may think we don't want to do it, but hey, this is what God wants me to do. And if this is what God wants, that's what I want. But the question is, for every one of us, every day, who have we decided we're going to follow? Are we going to follow ourselves? Someone else? Or are we going to follow Jesus? Yeah, we're going to follow God. That's right. So we're going to sing one more song. The song is, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And this morning, if you haven't made that decision, I would encourage you as we sing this song today that you, A, B, and C, you admit, you believe, and you choose Jesus. And if you wish to come to pray at an altar, they're here. There's nothing magical about the altars. They're just a really nice, neat place to come and talk to Jesus. So let's just stand and let's sing this song together. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Jesus, and you're not going to turn back. You're going to continue to follow His leading, even if it takes you to Nineveh. But if it takes you to Nineveh, don't go with Jonah's spirit. Go with the spirit of the Holy Spirit and be glad that God was able to use you to show His mercy to someone else. Dear God, we thank You for today. Dear God, we especially thank You for each and every one of these children that we have been able to work with and minister to this past week in Vacation Bible School. We pray, dear God, that their decision will be to follow You. That will be their choice, not only today, but every day of their life. Dear God, I pray for their parents, and for their guardians, dear God. I pray that Your mercy would be extended for them, that You would touch their lives, dear God, and bless them as they raise these young people to be followers of Yours. Dear God, today we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You, dear God, that You showed it to us. and we got to experience it ourselves. Thank you for forgiving our sins and cleansing our heart and making us a child of God who have life eternal in you. We pray these things in your name. Amen.